It's a one-year program designed to help contract managers accelerate into their leadership potential. And so through the year, they actually get a series of webcasts and in-residence type events that they need to go through. So it's not a college per se. So it's there's a lot of distance learning. There's a lot of in-residence learning. And networking and mentoring is also involved.
It's critical, too. My understanding is that these are slots that must be filled. People need to know how to handle contracts for the federal government.
Right, exactly. And these folks have already proven themselves to be great contract managers, but now we're trying to help them become great contract leaders and to point out some of the areas that really need help in. And because their organizations need help, and also so does NCMA in helping to grow their leadership skills.
What do you mean, the difference between a contract manager and a contract leader?
A contract manager has the technical skills to be able to figure out how to create a proposal or a solicitation, depending on if they're a seller or a buyer. But then as a contract leader, knowing what is the right thing to do, and why they are doing it, and also, even though they may not be in a formal leadership position, they should be able to understand how they can influence a group to accomplish its goals.
So it's more than just semantics, then. It's the ability to lead.
That's exactly correct. This sometimes is a new concept for them. Again, as I mentioned, that they know the technical aspects of what they're doing. They're great at that job. But then eventually you do so well at that job, you get promoted. And a lot of people are very lost when it comes to working with people. They know how to work with things, but working with people is an entirely different skill set.
So if somebody goes through your program, what is it that they, when they come out the other end, what do they know that they didn't know before? And then how will they apply those skills? Give me a typical for instance.
Okay, well, we send them through a series of 10 webcasts, which actually causes them to look into themselves, like what kind of leader are they? How do they deal with different conflict strategies? How do they understand the different leadership assessments? And how can they create change and get everybody to sign up for it? It's mainly how do you inspire the passion of the people around you to give the extra effort to get the job done, because we all get bogged down and we all sometimes get into a rut, but it's those leaders who, all of us have had those kind of leaders who really inspire us. And that's what we try to get these people who come through this program to truly understand: how do you inspire yourself, and then how do you inspire other people to get the job done?
So then they take that knowledge back to their companies?
That's correct. And then from there, the hope is that they will then light the fire and keep it burning, that fire of passion that will help people do their jobs, not just look at their jobs as a 9-to-5 type event, but something that they think about and actually helps them enhance their quality of life. Because, of course, there is more to life than just work. But they need to apply these principles to all aspects of their lives so they become better human beings.
Now, I'm looking at the list of the most recent graduates of your program. Many of them are in the private sector working for federal contractors, a few of them with military, like, say, the Air Force. Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. We have no criteria there. It just happens to be the way it falls out. Now, on the government side, specifically in the federal government, there are a lot of intern programs that people are already going through. And then there are a lot of these people who have gone through those intern programs, and then they have applied for this leadership development program that we sponsor. The industry usually comes out to be 80% industry in our applications and 80% federal or government of some level. But and that's typically the way it falls out in the class, where it's 80% industry and 20% government. But we don't have a set criteria, a set quota. We go for the best potential when we review the applications.
Do you find that with changes in procurement regulations and the changes that are coming with the new administration, that your program also has to evolve?
Yes, and that's something we look at all the time. In fact, We are changing some of the curricula, some of the substance that we are going to be presenting in November. But also, when they attend these conferences, there are four events that they must attend through the year, and those conferences will help to keep them up to date. And so, evolving with that, you also have a mentor program. We have two mentors assigned to each student to help them keep abreast of the career field and the profession, and to make sure that they are given opportunities to help in their professional development.
And you can talk a little bit about the critical nature of knowing how to be a leader as well as a contract manager.
Right, and being a leader is crucial. As I mentioned before, when you're a contract manager, you know how to do things. When you're a contract leader, you know why you're doing things. And to be able to pass that on, to give people clarity and focus as to why they are doing a job and why it's important, that's crucial in inspiring people to get the job done right and getting the results that you're looking for.